Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal teaching of practical science, whose goal is absolute liberation from suffering and the complete development of the human being. This lecture is one of many available by free download or podcast. The hundreds of hours of lectures range in topic and complexity in order to address the many needs of humanity. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an online chat, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. To learn how to participate or tune into our continuous web broadcast, visit our website for more information at gnosticradio.org. Gnostic Radio is made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit our website at gnosticradio.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Conjuration of the Four. There is a powerful conjuration that the magician uses in order to invoke the higher forces of the world of Yetzirah, the world of the angels, the world of formation, in order to reject negative forces related with the four elements of nature. And of course, those elements that also relate with our own psychosomatic nature. The world Yetzirah in Kabbalah is related with the lower Sephiroth, the third triangle of the Tree of Life, which is formed by Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, which relate to our mind, Netzach, Hod, emotions, Yesod, our sexual, motor, instinctual brain, Malkut, which is below the triangle, as you know, relates to the physical body. And this is precisely what we find in the graphic where we see the Star of David, the six-pointed star, with the four holy creatures, which in Hebrew are named Hayot, Ha Kadosh, holy creatures. These holy creatures relate, of course, to the top of the tree of life in the world of Yetzirah, which relates to Bina, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Bina, is called in the sacred names of God, Jehovah Elohim. So Jehovah Elohim Bina, as you remember in the previous lectures that we pointed the three mother letters, Aleph, Shin, and Mem, we pointed that Mem relates to the third triangle. And of course, Mem is Bina, the forces of the Holy Ghost. And in Bina is where we find the name Jehovah Elohim, which is the Kabbalistic name of Yod, He, Vav, He, the four-letter name of God, which is symbolized here in these four creatures that we are pointing at. If you observe beneath this Star of David with the four holy creatures, you find the Hebrew letters Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod, which form the word Adonai. The word Adonai means my Lord in Hebrew. Adon is Lord. Adonai or Adoni means my Lord, which, as you observe, is another tetragrammaton, four-lettered name. Because this conjuration is pointing us to the tetragrammaton. Remember that this word tetra means four in gramma, graphic or lettered. So tetragrammaton is a four-lettered name of God that we always say is Yod, He, Vav, He. But here as well, Adonai or Adoni has also the four letters Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod. In other words, it's another tetragrammaton or another tetragram. So this tetragram relates, of course, to the world of Malkut, which is always symbolized by a cross in the middle of a circle, which relates to the four elements, or to the four cardinal points, or to the elements of in alchemy, which are excuse me, salt, sulfur, mercury, and azoth. A-Z-O-T-H, azoth. So, why are we talking here about these four elements of alchemy? Because when we go into the world of Yetzirah, we go into that which is called the world or the triangle of priesthood. And remember that priest is a word that comes from mag. Or mag is a Sanskrit word, or word very, very old, whose root means priest. So when we said priest or priestess, we're talking about a mag, a magician. And of course, to be a magician, to be a priest or a priestess, we had to perform three types of priesthood, or three types of magic. If you observe the tree of life, you find that Yesod, which relates to the sexual, motor, instinctual brain, it is obviously related to that we call sexual magic, tantra, sexual tantra. Hod relates to the ceremonial magic of priesthood, related with those rituals that are performed in different religions, which always are related with the four elements. Any mass, any ritual relates to Hod, which is related with the heart. Here you find here the mysticism. And in the head, Netzach, we find the hermetic magic or the hermetic priesthood, in which you exercise power over the mind, over the forces of nature. As you observe, these three aspects of magic are related with our three brains: the intellectual brain, the emotional brain, the sexual, instinctual, motor brain. So, this is why when we enter into this path, which is the path of priesthood, or the path of magic, in which we have to acquire the level of human being, we emphasize that we have to work with three factors. Because these three factors relate to the three brains. Since the three brains relate to the three primary forces. And the three brains in the physical body implies the tetragramma. Three is what in Christianity says: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy affirmation, holy negation, and holy conciliation. Act in the three brains. And of course, in Christianity, it is stated that there are three persons and one God, or three forces and one triangle. So when you see a triangle, you see a unity. But within that unity, you see three points or three lines, which make these three forces. This is how in geometry we explain three in one, which means the tetragramma, the four letter or three. The four-lettered name of God, or the four forces. And this is what we are. If you observe, we have three brains and one body. That's why in alchemy and Kabbalah, the four creatures represent the three brains. The lion represents the heart. The eagle represents the head, which is the mind, the air. The lion is the fire, while the bull represents the forces of the sexual energy, of Bina, Remember that we always point that Bina is the bull, the winged bull, and also Geburah is a winged bull that goes down to Malkut, the earth. But in the middle of these creatures, we find the face of the angel, which, of course, is the man made from the earth, but that resides in the world of Yesod, which is the water. The man is the water, the bull is the earth, the lion is the fire, and the eagle is the air. In other words, we, as Adam, a symbol of the physical body, have three brains. We are that tetragram. That's why in Kabbalah, when we said the tetragram, sometimes we said Adoni, Adon, the Lord. Because also the Lord, Adoni, has four letters and are synthesized in the physical body. And Adoni, or Adonai, is a holy name of God in the physical matter, in the physical body. That's why you see here that Adonai is the one that results in this graphic, because all these four creatures work under the command of Adonai, which is like in singular, individually speaking, is an angel. The angel Adonai exists and is an angel of the moon. He works under the command of Gabriel, the angel of the moon. And of course, it's an archetype. Each one of us, as we are seeing here, has his own particular individual Adonai. If you read, or if you read the book of the Master of the Three Mountains, he explains there that Adonai is his best friend. My good friend, he says, the angel Adonai, which of course works with every initiate. And it is a companion of any magician when he enters into the path. And this is why when we name the conjuration of the four, we are addressing the four elements of nature that relates to us, to nature, and to the superior worlds, or the world of formation, the world of angels. Because the angels in the world of Yetzirah control the sylphs of the air, the salamanders of fire, the gnomes of the earth, and the undines of the water. Those are the elementals of nature that relate to our body, physically speaking, and psychologically as well. When we enter into this path, we have to fight against the negative forces that work through the ego. Not only individually speaking within us, but also in the other side of the tree of life, we call it evil, in which we find magicians, priests, that exercise power over those forces, over those elementals, but in the evil way. For that, we have to observe the tree of life. Remember that in the tree of life, we always point to three columns. The column of the right, which we find Chokmah, Chesed, Netzach. The column of the left, which is Binah, Geburah, Hod. And the column of the middle, which is Keter, Tifereth, Yesod, Malkut. Of course, in it also we find that mysterious Sephirah called Da'at. So the right, as we explain in many lectures, in the right of the tree of life, we find the lion. And that lion represents, of course, Chokmah and Chesed. In the left, we find the bull that we stated relates to Binah and Geburah. And in the center is Tifereth and Keter and Yesod that relates to the eagle. Actually, it's Tifereth and Keter, the one that relates to the eagle in those upper triangles above the world of Yetzirah. Because Adam, or the angel, or the four creatures, belongs to the two lower sephirot that we call Yesod Malkut. So, the right is what in Hebrew is called Tov, and the left is what in Hebrew is called Ra, evil. So in the left is where we find that tempting serpent that can fall or can go up according to our sexual behavior, according to our emotional behavior, according to our mental behavior. Because remember that we have three brains. The serpent can fall not only by fornicating, but also by committing treason through the heart. Because in the sex is the source, of course, the very foundation of the forces of God, of forces of the Holy Spirit. But in the heart, also we find the energies of the Lord related with faithfulness, with devotion, with love. And treason is one of the aspects that take us out and that can send that serpent of the left down and to develop in the evil or evilness. And the mind, of course, because there are many sorcerers, black magicians, that utilize the mind, that know how to command the elementals of nature with their mind. The Gnostic also knows how to control the forces of nature, of the mind, of the elementals, but always respect the free will and the will of the angels of Yetzirah. When we want to exercise control over any plant, we utilize our mind in order to command the angel related with that plant. But always, we ask to our God permission in order to do it. Because He is the one that does that type of magic, which is called hermetic magic. And our inner God also asks permission to the angels of Yetzirah, which are the ones that command the elementals of nature in order to exercise certain ritual in favor of something or somebody. While the black magicians, they know how to do it, but they don't ask permission to anybody, not even to their own God, because they are not following their own God. They just want to develop powers. They don't care about the will of the angels of Yetzirah, and they perform whatever they want by their own whim. And when I said this, I'm talking to the ego, because that's the nature of the black magician, working through magic to priesthood with the ego, not with the being, not with Chesed, but with the ego of Klipoth. As in this day and age, as you see, there are people that unconsciously are making catastrophes in nature, like that oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. They didn't ask permission to the angels and then to drill there and to take the petroleum out of the ocean. You see the catastrophe that they're doing, because they are doing their own will, their own whim. In the same way, they originate karma. While the white magician respects nature and ask first to his inner being. And if the angels allowed, then the thing is done, because the angels also do work under the law of karma. If the law of karma allows, then they do it. Everything is a chain into this magical work. Of course, unfortunately, we have the ego very alive. So we have to know how to conjure the negative forces, beginning with ourselves. And then the negative forces of nature, in order for us to have a positive effect in our psyche, in our spirit, in our body. And for that, of course, we invoke the higher forces always of the tetragram. The higher forces and the lower forces. Because here, physically, we are a tetragram, as I said. Three brains in one body. That's four. This is one unity. But that unity of three in one also exists above. Not only in Yetzirah, but also in the world of Bria, which is the world of creation. And beyond, in the world of Atziluth, the world of archetypes. So, those tetragrammatons are three, as you see. Yetzirah, Bria, and Atziluth. The three forces, the three worlds, make 12, if you make the addition. Three worlds and the four tetragrams in each one. I mean, the tetragrammaton in each one. 3 by 4, 12. This is the magic of the number 12, which is symbolized in the Star of David. That's why you find that the Star of David find 6 points, which are masculine, and 6 entrances, which are feminine, which make 12, indicating that the power of the four elements, the power of all those creatures, are related with the superior worlds. If the angels control the four elements, the angels are controlled by the archangels or the world of Bria. And the archangels of the world of Bria obey the will of the world of Atziluth, which is the world of the Logos. So everything is mathematical and comes down to us in a mathematical way. That's why we insist that the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness that we taught in the Gnostic tradition is not something that we invented. It's something that we had to do because we have three brains, three forces. And each one works. The three primary forces work if you analyze in every way. For instance, right now, I represent with this lecture the holy affirmation. I am affirming things that I understand, that I comprehend. You are passive, holy negation. You're just listening. The two forces. But at the end of the lecture, I always ask you questions. Because there is has to be a communion between the negative force and the positive, affirmation and negation, in order to conciliate. Because what I understand, I don't know if you are understanding. That's why it's good to have always questions. Because in that questioning comes the fourth, which is the comprehension of what we are talking here. But you see? Four. Affirmation, negation, questions, conciliation, and conclusion or understanding of the topic. In our own level, of course. This is how you see the tetragrammaton there working in one unity. And this, which right now is called the third factor, which is charity. It has to work the three forces. And that factor that we call to be born again, which is alchemy, transmutation of the sexual energy, the woman represents the negative force. The man, the affirmation. And when they are in sexual union, there is a conciliation with the eventual awakening of the fire of the Kundalini, or fire of Holy Ghost, which will become the fourth. This is why the holy tetragrammaton is holy. That's why the name of God, the higher name, is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But if you observe, it's only three letters there. Because the second one is repeated. In order to indicate that there is a unity in the He, which is the Holy Spirit. And the fourth He of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the physical body. The same when you work in the annihilation of the ego. If you analyze, there is always the three forces working there. That's why each force assists the other, help the other. That's why Master Samael on Veor stated, there is no two factors, but three. And you have to work with the three all the time in different ways. Because the three creates. The three forces also destroy. But you have to apply it. The positive, the negative united and utilizing the third, the force of sex, in order to destroy what we need to destroy, which is the ego. So, all of the work of the four is a work of alchemy. That's why in the Conjuration of the Four, which is written in Latin, you read, Caput mortum, imperativi dominus, pervivum et devotum serpentem. Keruv imperativi dominus per Adam yod Chava. Aquila errans imperativi dominus per alas tauri. Serpens imperativi dominus tetragrammaton per angelum et leonem. If you observe in these four, first saying of the conjuration, you observe that you name the four creatures. Adam Yod Chava. Who is Adam Yod Chava? Adam Yod Chava, of course, represents Adam that works with the power of Yod Heh Vav Heh. Because this is how it's written in Hebrew, Adam Yod Chava. Yod Heh Vav Heh is named Yod Chava. And of course, you find the other creature, which is called Alas Tauri, or the winged bull, in other words, in Latin. And the Angelum and Leonem. The Angelum, of course, represents always the man, Adam. And the Leonem, the lion. Always understand the forces of the four elements in one. As you see, for instance, the pyramid of Egypt, the Sphinx, the Egypt, Sphinx of Egypt, has these four symbols. The face is the face of a human being. It has the wings of an eagle, the paws of a lion, and the hoofs of the bull or the ox. The same symbols that you read in the book of Ezekiel, the four creatures. Holy creatures that we are naming here. So, of course, the Sphinx is a symbol related with the forces of nature. Anybody that enters into this path connects immediately to the temple of Egypt in order to resolve the enigma of the Sphinx, which is the enigma of the human being. That we have to develop inside through alchemy. Because this conjuration has to be done before any work of alchemy, especially sexual alchemy, or any work, in other words, any work of magic related with the three forces of the third triangle of priesthood. Hermetic magic, ritualistic magic, and sexual magic. This way we are assisted for the tetragram. Because if you observe in the conjuration, which has to be memorized in order for us to do it, you might ask, what do I have to pronounce that in Latin when I can do it in English? The answer is, Latin is a mantric language, while English is not. Latin exercises power over nature. It's a beautiful language. That's why Latin was adopted by the Catholic Church in order to do their masses. But they lost power, but they start doing everything in other language. Sanskrit is a mantric language. Hebrew is another mantric language. But English, Spanish, French, no. But we and then, we utter the main forces in Latin in order to invoke the forces, the superior forces. So the first says, Caput Mortum, it says, corpse's head, Adonai command thee by the living and votive serpent. Dominus in Latin means the Lord. But that Lord is Adonai, Adoni. So the translation is corpse's head. May Adonai command thee by the living and votive serpent. Kerub, Adonai command thee by Adam Yod-Chavah. Wandering eagle, Adonai command thee by the wing of the bull. Serpent, Adonai, the tetragrammaton command thee by the angel and the lion. Now you know why we said Dominus, which is a Latin word for Adonai, which is Hebrew, and the Lord in English. So when you said the Lord, you know it's the Lord. But it's better to say Adonai, because it's a Hebrew word and also mantric. But you said Dominus also is good. And of course, after that, you know that Dominus Tetragrammaton means Adonai the Tetragrammaton, because Adonai, as we said, is written with four letters, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod. Adonai ends with Yod, while Yod He Vav He begins with Yod. That will tell you a lot. Because the Lord above, Yod He Vav He, Yod Hava, begins with Yod, but ends in Malkut with Adonai, which ends with Yod in the name. So that, of course, is, we will say, the letter Yod, the beginning of the forces of Keter going into Malkut, and the very end of the name. So, you name after that Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Anael. And for that, we need to go into the pentagrammaton, because also in this conjuration you name the pentagram, which is a five-pointed star, and you find in the left arm of that pentagram the name Adam, Aleph Talet Mem, and in the right Yod He Vav He, which is read Yod, Yod Hava. That in the Bible is written or translated as Jehovah. But the right pronunciation is Yod Hava. Adam Yod Hava. So when you are naming Adam Yod Hava in the conjugation of the four, you are attracting the forces of the superior energies of the pentagram, which symbolizes the cosmic Christ. So, of course, this is why that conjuration is very magic, very powerful, and that has a lot of force if you are an alchemist. Because when you pronounce it, you are utilizing the four forces of your own elements of your body. Remember that. You are pronouncing the conjuration. Well, you are utilizing the four forces. The fire, the air, the water, the earth of your body. That should come and make one with Adam Yod Chava from above. In other words, Adam Yod Chabad, we explain, which represent the 12 zodiacal forces. Now you know why there are 12 tribes of Israel. Because these 12 tribes of Israel relate to the three worlds, Yetzirah, Bria, Atziluth, 3 by 4, 12. But here in the earth, the physical body, as we explained in other lectures, also have the 12 forces, the 12 archetypes. If you read any horoscope, you will see how the 12 zodiacal signs relate to different parts of your body. So that's why this 12th below that relates to Adonai and the 12th above make the additional 24. But that has to be in union and harmony in the alchemist. Hold that now, because we are explaining the Kabbalistic meaning of this, but you need to be an alchemist in order to exercise power on that. To be an alchemist is to work with the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness. Because how the salamanders of fire are going to obey you in your body and in nature if you are easily wrath, you get angry very easily. You don't have no control in your fire. How are you going to command the gnomes of the earth if you are lazy? The gnomes of the earth are diligent. But if you are lazy, they won't obey you. Because they obey the one that has power over them. And they are diligent. But a lazy one has gone to command the gnomes by yawning. And of course, the sylphs of the air that control the clouds, the forces of the mind. How are you going to control them if you don't have control on your mind and your thoughts, that you easily identify with your lustful thoughts or with your fantasies? And how are you going to command the ondines of the water if you don't control your own sexual waters? So you have to exercise control, alchemically speaking, of your three brains, as you see. Because the water, of course, is in the sex. The fire is in the heart. The air is in your mind. And you are representing Adam, who was made of the dust of the earth. We are a symbol of the earth, Malkut, in which we find the three brains. Here, the magical force of the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness. When you enter into meditation, you pacify your earth, your physicality, control your emotion, your fire, and start to control your mind, the air, in order for your Adam, your consciousness, to go beyond. When the consciousness in meditation goes out of the body, it's because that consciousness, that Buddha Dhatu, that Buddhata, control the earth, the fire, the air, the water, is out. But if you are a slave of any of those elements in meditation, you cannot experience any samadhi. Remember, it's the consciousness, the one that has to control that. That's why Tiferet, which is beyond Yetzirah, which is above Netzah, represents the consciousness, the human soul, that has to control the forces. And how do you do it? In the middle of the pentagram, as you can see, exists the four elements in symbol. It's easy to see when you use your intuition, your mind. In the left leg of the pentagram, remember that we're talking the left leg of the pentagram, not your left side, the left of the pentagram, is the moon, which symbolizes the forces of Gabriel, the angel of the moon. And in the right leg, you find, or we will say it, the right part of the chest, if you want, because really it's not below but above, is the symbol of the sun, which is Michael. So in alchemy, you always name Michael and Gabriel. And, of course, these are the two polarities, the sulfur and the water, with which you have to work with. Below, or in the very middle of the pentagram, you find the sign of Mercury, which is a circle with a cross below and the moon above. That is Raphael. It symbolizes the Mercury in different steps. Remember that Mercury exists in three manners, alchemically speaking. But in order to put in activity these three manners of Mercury, you need the forces of Venus. And that's why below the symbol of Mercury, you find another circle. And below that circle, the caduceus of Mercury, which make the basis of the cross. The wings is a horizontal line, and the caduceus, the vertical line. That is a cross, symbol of Venus. Because really, as we call it, caduceus of Mercury, but in order to work in that caduceus of Mercury, we need the forces of Venus, which is the forces of Anael. Remember that we name Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Anael, four angels related with the four forces that we are naming here and that you have to be acquainted with. That's why you find those symbols in the very middle. That's why in another lecture we stated that some Gnostics perform the start of five-pointed star, and they end with the arms like that, below. They don't rise them to the heart, meaning they are not working with alchemy. They don't know anything about priesthood or about magic, because all the power of magic, of priesthood, comes when you elevate your cross hands over your sex towards your heart, because the heart is Tifereth, which is the one that is doing the work. So you have to do it. That means that you have to perform alchemy in order to acquire the forces of the elements. Because Michael is the fire, which is sulfur. The moon is the water, which is Gabriel. Mercury is Mercury. And of course, Venus represents the forces of the water. You find also the salt. Salt, sulfur, and mercury are elements that are combined in different aspects. You find the salt in the sulfur, which is fire. You find the salt in the water, which is water. And you have to elevate the salt in order to make other bodies inside of you. We are not going to go too deep into this, but we had to understand that the four creatures, the tetragram, are really in the middle. And this is why you read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable spoke Jesus unto them. This is very short, but listen carefully. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was fermented. That's it. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast or leaven, which is the same thing, that the woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, wheat flour, until the flour fermented. And that is similar to the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand that? Do you grasp that? Jesus said that. I would like to ask all of those preachers that read this, why did Jesus say that the kingdom of heaven is similar to a woman that had yeast and put the yeast into 3 measures of flour until it is fermented? This is similar to the kingdom of heaven. Only knowing alchemy and by using your head, as somebody says, or your common sense, you understand. Right? Why a woman? Why not a man? Because he says it's like a man, no, it's like a woman. Because a woman, as we explain in many lectures, is Malkut. We said always, is feminine. That's the woman. First, you have to have physical body. That's why in this path of the self-realization of the being, you have to have a woman. In other words, you have to have a physical body. But this woman symbolizes different aspects. Remember that in Christianity, they talk about 3 Marys. Mary the wife, Mary the mother, Mary the sister. You have to work with these 3 aspects. And the woman, of course, if you see any woman, she is filled with yeast, leaven. What does the woman do with the yeast, with that leaven in their body? Well, if a man comes and put his seed, which in this case will be the wheat. Remember the lecture of hay? Or his fish, if you want. Remember noon? Even the word Adonai is with noon. If a man put that seed, that noon, or that hay into the womb of a woman, what happened? She, like a yeast, or like a bread, will blow. 9 months after, she will be very inflated. In other words, those elements will ferment, alchemically speaking. That's physically speaking. Other men, of course, are inflated, but because they are gluttons, they go on belly, right? That's another thing. But the belly that any woman grows, develops, when he's pregnant, is the outcome of the gist of her body. That symbolizes that Jesus said there. But also we have to have our own woman, of course, because we're talking here about alchemy and the 4 elements of alchemy that we have to develop. As a man, I need a woman. Because her gist that she hides within her 3 brains, within her own nature, I need it. In order to develop, in order to ferment my own yeast. In this moment that I'm saying this, it's coming into my mind something that the Master Samael on the earth said. He said, "For a period of time, I will disappear. Nobody will know where I am. Because we have given time until the leaven ferments, until the jest becomes fermented." What is that? Of course, he is obviously talking about the alchemical work, because he taught that in all of his books. He wants to see if what he planted, the wheat that he gave, is going to ferment in those that practice alchemy. And that's why we explain fermentation a sexual alchemical process whereby electrons released from the brute mercury are ultimately transferred to the soul of the mercury, obtained from the transmutation of the same brute mercury, which originates mercury fecundated by sulfur, or the rousing of the creative energy, ki or kundalini, which originates the virtual creation of the electronic or solar bodies. Now let us talk in English, right? Fermentation. I mean, the act of sexual alchemy, you begin to work with your yeast or with your wit, in other words. Because that's the first. First, the wit. Because you need to make bread. You need to make the miracle of the multiplication of bread within you. But for that, you need fish. How you want to multiply bread, the wheat, if you don't have fish? You don't have nun. That's why in Kabbalah, the alchemists or the Kabbalists, they said that the angel, they said Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and then said Nuriel. Nuriel. But this is taking the basis of Uriel. Uriel is the archangel of Venus. But when you write it with Nun, Nuriel, you are pointing the Nun in your sexual force, which is the Venus, the sexual energy in the Nun. When you transmute that Nuriel, that Nun, from your sexual force towards your heart, then that Nuriel becomes Uriel, which means the light of God. And the positive ray of Uriel, Venus, is Anael, the angel of love. That's why the conjuration of the four says Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Anael. But Anael, Uriel, or Nuriel, same forces of Venus. We have to work with Venus. Remember that Venus, mythologically speaking, emerged from the foam of the ocean. When Saturn, which is Bina, came and with his scythe cut the testicles of Uranus. Who is Uranus? Uranus, Urania, heaven, the forces of sex. So he cut the forces of sex of Uranus. Saturn did that, Bina. And who is Uranus? Uranus is Chokmah, the Christ. And the blood that fell in the ocean, from that blood emerged a foam. And then Aphrodite, or Venus, which is the same, was born. All of that is an alchemical statement that we have to do. Venus has to be born within us, which is a force of love. Master Samael stated, when the woman and a man are united in a sexual act, behold the three primary forces. And if they transmute the brute mercury, which is the semen, the sperm of the woman, of the ovum, as you find it in your sexual gland, that's called brute mercury. When you transmute it, you liberate the electrons, the solar force, by the will that you have to utilize. This is precisely Uranus being castrated by Saturn, the forces that goes into the ocean with the willpower that you are utilizing in order not to spill the sexual force. And then the soul of the Mercury rises through Ida and Pingala, the two serpents that you see in the caduceus of Mercury. So any single person does it. And in the marriage couple also do it. But in the married couple, when they are accumulating a lot of soul of the Mercury that comes from the brute Mercury, the transmutation of that, or we will say it with the fermentation, alchemically speaking, eventually the fire liberated in the sexual act, that electric force will fecundate the soul of the Mercury, which had been accumulated through many transmutations in your two Ida Pingala. And eventually will awake the Kundalini, which is Venus, the force of love, in your spinal column. And that's why you find there that the pentagram is telling you, in order to have the power of the tetragram, you have to work with the four elements, with Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, Wanael, whatever name you wanted, in order to make your own bread. Now you know, for instance, now you know why you need a physical body, which is a woman, in order to make bread, in order to ferment the flour. If you are a man, you need a wife in order to ferment your own flour, because she has yeast, and she needs your yeast. Because if you make bread, what do you need? What do you need in order to make bread? An oven, right? And who has that oven? It's the woman that has that oven. His womb. You see? He hides the mystery of that yeast. So within that oven is a lot of fire. Because in order to make fire, you need the man there. Because the fire is made by the horizontal, vertical line. Horizontal and vertical line together makes fire. Ingri. Ignis natural renovator integra. The fire renews nature constantly. That's the sexual act. And that's why the Lord is crucified there, in the four elements. Because he does the work there. And of course, in order to put that, mass that will become bread, the dough, you need water, right? You need water. You have water in your sexual force. You need the wheat, which is the seed, symbolizes the seed, which is also the same noon of fish. So when you're making that dough, and you put enough yeast, then you are making that bread. So water, earth, fire, and the air will blow the bread. The other four elements. The bread. But who does that? The Lord. The Lord Jesus It is written there in the Gospel of Matthew that the Lord Jesus was having a lot of people following him. And all of a sudden said, well, we have to feed the multitudes. They had something to eat. Or let them go to the towns and buy their food there. No, said the Lord, they need to eat the bread of heaven, and I will give them that. That's the symbol of that. And he was in the middle, because he's Tifereth. Tifereth is the Son of Man, which is in the middle of the Tree of Life. And he parted the bread and feed the one of the left and the ones of the right. This is how the miracle of the multiplication of bread is done. And fish as well. That's the alchemical work. Without the fish, you cannot do that multiplication. You find that precisely in this beautiful graphic. When the Lord, the Son of Man, if you observe very clear, he is where? He's in the oven. That oven has the form of a vagina. Because Tifereth has to enter into Malkut. Because Tifereth represents the forces of the Son of Man entering into Malkut, the woman, the physical body. And from there, he is multiplying, which is a work of alchemy, the bread and the fish. This is a miracle that is being taught through that miracle that he performed. And he performed it twice. And one time he says, how many bread do you have? We have five. And how many fish? Two fish, he says. These two fish represents, of course, the two polarities, man and woman. The five loaves of bread represents the five bodies. Because in order to reach Tifereth, you had to have the five crucified bodies. Malkut, Hod, Yesod, Netzah, Tifereth, five. That's the Son of Man. But in other occasion, he says, how many do you have? Seven, he said, loaves. This seven is also the seven serpents. Malkut, Yesod, Hod, Netzah, Tifereth, Geburah, and Chesed. Seven. Whether five or seven, this is how you make the miracle of the multiplication of bread and fish. But after that marvelous multiplication of miracle where he fed more than 5,000 men without counting women and children, and he did that in Tifereth. In other words, he put all those multitudes in the fourth dimension, Yesod. Because in Yesod is where you perform the miracle. The Master Samael Onveor explains that. He says that the Master Jesus performed that miracle in the world of the fourth dimension, Yesod. But when you read that, if you are not using alchemy and Kabbalistic mentality, you are just thinking in the miracle. Oh, yeah, and put it in the fourth dimension, and he fed a lot of people with that. Think, analyze. Fourth dimension is Yesod. Yesod is sex. So Tifereth, the Son of Man, performed that miracle in Yesod. And any initiate do that. Multiplication of the bread, which nourishes the mind, the heart, and the sex. And that becomes wisdom. Did you know that there are two types of bread according to religion? The unleavened bread. What is the unleavened bread? That unleavened bread is the bread that we eat when we are in Malkut. When we are in desperation. Only the wheat as it is. No leaven. But the bread of heaven has a leaven, has yeast. And when you eat it, it has more taste. And that's the bread that the Israelites ate in the wilderness. But the unleavened, they ate it in Egypt. When they are in tribulation. That is the bread of tribulation that everybody eats. When you go into the Bible and you read the scriptures, there is wisdom there, but because you don't know, you are not an alchemist, a Kabbalist, you eat just unleavened bread. You don't know the meaning of it. But if you are an alchemist, then that bread turns into the bread of heaven, which had yeast. Because a woman, you discover who were or who was the woman that hid that yeast. And he said, I'm going to steal that yeast and make my own bread in my own oven with her. That's a great miracle. That's why after that, the disciples of Jesus, who are the ones that know alchemy, the ones that know this mystery of the art of transmutation, they said in Matthew, they went to the other side. Let me read for you, so you understand what I'm talking about. And when his disciples were come from Tifereth to the other side, Malkut, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven, of the Pharisees, and of the Sadducees. You see, his disciples are with him in Tifereth, of course. But they went to the other side. If you don't know Kabbalah, you don't know what is the other side. What is the other side? Well, the right side is the side of mercy. And the other is the side of justice that goes down to Malkut. That's why I said from Tifereth to Malkut. Because Binah goes, or the bull goes down to Malkut. In other words, they come from the east, which is Tifereth, and went into the west, which is the physical world. Here we are, in this physical world, bringing the wisdom of Tifereth, which is the wisdom of Christ, the Son of Man, into the physical world, which is the other side, the west. East and west. Here in the west, Master Jesus says, when you go down and teach this, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And later he says in the scripture that he's talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees related to what we call the intermediate mind, the emotional mind, the fanatic mind, related with beliefs, dogmas, in the physical world. In this side, there are a lot of Pharisees, and also Sadducees. We relate to the mind, the sensual mind, the intellectual mind, that read the scriptures only literally. And they don't know the meaning of it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So in this physical world, of course, we have to be aware of that. It's a lot of people that interpret the scriptures according to their own level of mind, according to their sensual mind, and others according to their traditions, fanaticism. You have to develop your own internal mind The internal mind develops through the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness. Alchemy, comprehension of the ego, which is meditation, and sacrifice for humanity. This is how little by little your internal mind is awakening, developing, because relate to the psyche, to the soul. That's why, if you see, we have here the three wise men, which go and visit the Lord when he's born. Three, not four. The first is a black wise man. The second is the white. And the third is the yellow. Those three wise men does not relate to any particular root race in this, or race in this physical world. It's an alchemical symbol. And they relate to the three steps that we had to walk internally, alchemically speaking. In the beginning, of course, we are black, because we have a lot of ego. That means that alchemically speaking, you have to reach the level of Tifereth, because Tifereth is called Malachim. This is a word that in Hebrew means angel. A Malachim is somebody that reached the fifth initiation of mere mysteries. A Malachim is a human being in the complete sense of the word. It's the one that utilizes the conjuration of the four a lot, because he has a lot of negativity within himself. But he's a king, he's a master. But he's black. Or as the Master Samael says, he's a Hanasmus. Because this is how you call it too, a Hanasmus. Has a lot of white and a lot of black inside. Do not mistake this Hanasmus with those ones that awaken evil and for evil. Because there are many types of Hanasmusen. Those that awaken evil and for evil, those are completely black and they are not adoring the Lord. But the one that reaches the fifth initiation is a Hanasmus, because has ego inside. A Hanasmus is half ego, half solar forces. Simple. But as he keep ahead, because he's the one that took the direct path and has to annihilate his ego, because he wants to become white as the light inside. And in order to do that, he has to work very hard in the annihilation of his own ego. This white king in the Bible is represented by David, while the black is represented by Saul, or Sheol, the first king of Israel. He was anointed by Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, but he only killed 1,000 egos, while David killed 10,000. How did David did it? How did David do it? How? You want to know? Read the book, The Pistis Sophia, of the Master Samael on the Or. He performed the 13 repentances. If you are carefully reading the Pistis Sophia of the Master Jesus, dictated by Master Jesus, and unveiled by the Master Samael, you will see how every single repentance is cited or compared with a psalm of David. Because David represents the white priesthood, the white magician, or the white magi, the white wise man. He's the one that is fulfilling the will of his own God. But he does it through 13 repentances. If you wonder why every apostle says, "Oh, Lord," says the Master Jesus, this repentance that you utter here is what David said in the Psalm such and such. Every single repentance. Of course, it's because David represents the white. The one that is performing that death is another Malachim. Eventually, will appear the yellow one, which is Solomon. Soliman, the solar man, which is the son of David. You see, he's the son of David. Because David was not the son of Saul. Saul was something else. A mixture of ego with knowledge. But David had a son with Bathsheba, his twin soul. And that was Solomon, the solar man, the third king, the yellow one. And that's why everything related with Solomon was gold. And he had a lot of gold, which is the symbol of that wise man. The three steps of the alchemy that we had to perform, in which we had to control the forces of nature, but the forces of nature had to control us too. And we begin always from the very bottom until we reach the level of Solomon, who had the wisdom within. That wisdom in Hebrew means Chochmah, Christ, incarnated. Between parentheses, the Master Samael on the Or now is in the level of Soliman, Solomon. He's a solar man. But during his work, when he was alive in Mexico, he was the white one, developing the white one. But before developing the white king within himself, he was the black king, of course. He was ego, and he said that. Still, at that time, he says, "I have the ego very alive." But we know that in order to go into these three steps that we are naming here of alchemy, we have to overcome the four ordeals of the elements. The four ordeals of the elements. The ordeal of fire, the ordeal of water, the ordeal of earth, and the ordeal of earth. The four ordeals. Do not fall into the mistake of thinking when you read literally the perfect matrimony. But the Master says in the beginning, the neophyte passes the four ordeals, and they think, "Oh yeah, I passed it already. I am in the major initiations. I'm no longer passing more ordeals of fire, or water, air, and earth." No. You always repeat that in different levels, you see. In different levels, you always pass the ordeals of the elements that relate to different ordeals that the initiate has to pass through. And all that is in relation with sexual magic. You see, the other graphic that we have here is from Tibet. If you observe the Mahakala, or the Kala Chakra, is of course a symbol of sexual magic. The earth is at the very bottom together with the water. And above, of course, is the air. And they are surrounded by fire. Those are the four elements. Represented, of course, in the four faces that you see that the initial has. And he is taking the yeast of the woman, sexually speaking, in order to make the bread of wisdom. And of course, you find above always the two forces represented by the sun of the moon, the man and the woman. That's precisely the symbol of alchemy. And that's why you find this marvelous doctrine of alchemy of the four elements everywhere. It's not something that belongs to the Gnostics. Tantric Buddhism knows about it. And everybody works with it. The outcome is not to become, as many people think, a magician that can control the forces and to show himself. No. It's something that you have to perform within. And that is coming as an addition when you developed. But the main thing is the development and the control of the forces within. By manipulating the 12 forces from above and the 12 forces from below. Remember, when I said 12 from above, is a tetragramma in three worlds. And from below are your three brains and the three and the 12 the archetypes that you have within. That you have to do. Men and women united. In order to make the miracle of the bread. That's why Master Jesus asked them, you know, in the Gospel of Mark, he says, "And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves of the over the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. And then he asked, "Also, when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you don't understand? 12 and 7. How is it that you don't understand?" Master Jesus says, I cannot get it. I already told you practically the whole thing. But of course, when people read that in the Bible, they might interpret it in their own Pharisee mind or Sadducee's mind. So be aware of that leaven. Because they put and make their own bread, which is not the bread of wisdom. This is precisely what you find in this day and age. People that put leaven or yeast in the wheat, flour wheat, in order to make bread, and they go and teach in Sundays and interpret what is written there according to their own whim. But remember that the one that multiplies the bread is the Son of Man in the heart through Tifereth, through the three type of priesthood. The Eucharist is a multiplication of that bread as well that enters into your psyche and you developed knowledge. And that knowledge is precisely what you teach. In the beginning, it's not difficult for you. Many people said, "Your lecture I saw from the clouds above." And I said, "Well, you need to eat bread and drink wine. Jesus made those miracles of alchemy. Drink the wine of alchemy. Eat the bread of alchemy. Multiply your fish, because you have a lot of fish in your sexual organs. Sperms and ovum. You have yeast. If you know how to do the alchemy, bread will multiply within you. And then you will teach that and you will understand. Because there is a lot of that bread of wisdom in the Bible. whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, whether in the Quran, whether in any sacred book. But you have to know how to see it. And for that you need to be an alchemist in order to do it. And that's why you said, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Anael flew perfume by the Ruach Elohim. Flew perfume by the Ruach Elohim. Well, I'm trying here to, if somebody comes and do it for me, because it's not even done there. Anyhow, when you said flew the perfume by the Ruach Elohim, it means, yeah. Fluat udor per spiritum Elohim. The spiritum Elohim is what you say in the Bible, Ruach Elohim, or the spirit of the Elohim. Fluat udor per spiritum Elohim. That is when you are transmuting. When you are transmuting your own waters, remember that the Ruach Elohim, or the spirit of the Elohim, or the spiritum of the Elohim, is your own chesed, is your own lion that is fecundating the waters. Because when that fire of Michael fecundates the waters, then the perfume of the sexual transmutation flows into the spinal column. And this says, Manet in terra per Adam yod chava. Be established in the earth by Adam yod chava. That, again, we are naming here the tetragrammaton. When you said, Manet in terra per Adam yod chava, you are establishing yod chava, yod he bar he, in other words. But you pronounce it yod chava. Adam yod chava, remember? Is the two arms, are the two arms of the pentagram that you are controlling in order to transmute and to establish that force in your own earth, which is your terra. Fiat firmamentum per Yod-Chava Sabaoth. Spread the firmament by Yod-Chava Sabaoth. Who is Yod-Chava Sabaoth? Yod-Chava Sabaoth is a sacred name in the mind, in Netzach. In other words, you are making a firmament in your head, very clear, by controlling the forces of the air, by the forces of the holy name of God in Netzach, Adam, I mean Yod-Chava Sabaoth. Fiat judicium per ignem in virtute Michael. Fulfill the judgment by fire and in the virtue of Michael, which is the king of fire, king of the sun, sulfur. Judgment. Judgments goes to the left side of the tree of life, which is called Geburah. Geburah comes into you. Or the forces of the serpent are tempting you, you have to say, Fiat judicium per ignem in virtute Michael. Angel of the blind eyes, obey or pass away with this holy water. What holy water are we talking about? Alchemically speaking, is the water that you are transmuting. The blind eyes, of course, is the angel or the forces of Yesod, which arc mechanically, and that we are, by our own will, utilizing it wisely, consciously, by the virtue of Michael, the king of fire. I mean the holy water. Work, winged bull, or revert to the earth, unless thou wilt that I should pierce thee with this sword. The winged bull, as you know, is ready with the forces of your body. It's in relation with the salt of your body. That salt that you had to control and sublimate. And that is the winged bull that had to revert to the earth, unless I will that I should pierce thee with this sword. What sword? The sword that you are developing in your spinal column. Listen, when we talk about the sword, alchemically or kabbalistically speaking, it is related with the holy name of God, Yod Heh Vav Heh. Yod is where you hold the sword. That's the Yod. Vav is a line of the sword that goes to the end. That's Yod Vav. And the two sharp edges of the sword are the two heys. One hey and the other hey. So it says, Yod Hey, Vav Hey is the sword. So when you are saying, we shall pierce thee with this sword, that sword is the tetragrammaton itself. Yod Hey, Vav Hey. Chain eagle, obey my sign or fly before this bidding. A chain eagle, of course, are those thoughts which are chained to desire. Those thoughts that we have in the mind that we cannot control. And that we control them, whether in ourselves or in others, by the sign of the cross. And that cross is Yod Heh Vav Heh. The tetragram again. Or with this breathing. When you do this breathing, you just blow, because that's the air. And you make the cross with your breath. You make one vertical line with your breath and one horizontal. Right? That's to control the air. This is a magical conjuration indeed. Writhing serpent crawled on my feet or be tortured by the sacred fire. That writhing serpent, of course, is the serpent of that writhes in the dust of the earth. It's the serpent of fornication, the Kundavafer organ, that passional fire that we are slave of. We have to control that in order not to spill that fire. It will do it with the power of the perfumes that I burn in it. Where? What is it? The sexual act. I burn them with transmutation. I feel the fire there. And then you said, water return to water, fire burn, air circulate, earth revert to earth. Controlling the four elements again. In you and outside. You are exercising power on them by virtue of the pentagram, which is the morning star. What is the pentagram? We show you the pentagram. It's a five-pointed star, which is the morning star, the star of Venus. That's the star of Venus. Because the whole pentagram is the outcome of the center of the pentagram. How you call it? In the center of the pentagram, you work with the four angels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Nuriel, and that become Uriel, the angel of love, Anael. And by the name of the tetragram, which is written in the center of the course of light. That tetragram might be Inri, it's a tetragram, which is related with fire. Could be Adonai as well. It could be Yod Heh Vav Heh, the tetragram, because it's the conjuration of the four. Amen, amen, amen. So now you understand why this conjuration of the four is almighty. Anytime that you are going to perform your sexual magic or any type of alchemical work, any type of priesthood, in other words, sexual magic, ceremonial magic, or hermetic magic, you have to exercise power over the elementals. And then you conjure or you pronounce the conjuration of the four very mightily, with a lot of strength. But remember that is strength, is sexual strength. You have to be an alchemist. Because if you are a fornicator and you pronounce this, well, the elemental will say, well, we're going to obey here. He's a slave of the earth. He's a slave of the air, of the fire and the water. So first we had to control ourselves. Then we exercise power. That is a conjuration of the four. And of course, has effect in accordance to our own level of alchemy. Do you have questions? Or the practice that you have to perform. Of course, as I said, in order to exercise, the question is, in order to perform this or to have this conjuration to have effect, you have to do practices. Yeah, of course. And this is simple. The practices that you have to do are the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness, which are developed in different levels. You do it individually or in group. Right? The three factors. Of course, there's a lot of rituals, ceremonies that you do individually. The Master Samael advises that in many books. How to perform, for instance, the ceremonial work of Hod in your home by having always the four elements within your table, which will be your altar. Fish, a piece of meat, a piece of wheat, bread, and wine. Grape juice, no alcohol. And then you can perform that. And before doing that, you perform the conjuration of the four. And then to charge those elements and you eat them. And we, the Gnostics, we gather in special days in order to perform in group certain ceremonies of Hod. And we do this conjuration before in order to invoke the forces of the elements in our own ceremony. Now, when you do, of course, this type of work that I'm doing right now, which is teaching, also the four elements are there. You can't ask for help of the elements in order to help you to teach us. We said affirmation, negation, questions, conciliation, and conclusion when you understand. So the third factors, of course, in the simple way, are chastity first. You have to know how to transmute your sexual energy. For that, you have to receive a special lectures, or in the website, we have already a lot of instruction. There are books, for instance, there's a book that is called The Yellow Book, where you learn how to transmute your sexual force, individually speaking. If you are married, you have to learn how to do it with your spouse. And for that book, The Perfect Matrimony, or The Mystery of the Golden Blossom, because it's a lot of explanation in order to learn that.
Mystery of the Golden Blossom, you mean the Chinese
alchemy
book?
No, we have it. It's called The Mystery of the Golden Blossom by the Gnostic group. There we explain a lot of Tantra. And of course, you have to learn how to meditate in order to annihilate your dry mercury, which is your ego. Something that you have to get rid of. And charity. Three factors. Do good. That's the simple way. And of course, these three factors developed according to your own level. And you perform that. For instance, this lecture that I'm giving right now, we will say is a level, maybe an apprentice companion of master? I don't know, because that depends on the listeners. Question? The question is, if there is any point to this conjuration, you are a fornicator, there is no point here. You know what I mean? Because the conjurations work when you have energy. He says, does this rifle that I have here will serve me if I don't have bullets? Well, how do you want to defend? Against a lion? Use the rifle against a lion without bullets? Without energy? No conjuration has effect at all. Energy is what we need to save. Yeah?
What do you mean by fornicating?
The question is, what do I mean by fornicating? Fornication in the Gnostic tradition is when the individual loses his sexual matter, which is a brute mercury. That's how we call it. Whether through masturbation, whether in the sexual act, or any type of sexual vice. That is fornication. So you have to learn how to stop it, because everybody in this world is a fornicator from that point of view. So you have to learn how to transmute, how to liberate the soul of the mercury, which is the electronic force within the sperm in the oven. And that's the energy that we need in order for the conjuration to take effect. Because as we said, the forces that we have within have to match the forces of nature. Remember that magic, what we call priesthood, is the power that we exercise over the elements. But we have to begin with our own particular elements. Other people that are so identified with this type of work, they want to exercise the power in the wind, in the fire, in the water, and to make miracles. But they didn't make the miracle in themselves yet. The first miracle is inside of you. Transform those forces, and then you exercise power over nature. Remember that you are an individual, small, micro nature. Another question?
Is the conjuration of the four also good for purifying a home? What other conjurations could be used?
Conjuration of the four is good, of course, in order to clean homes. It's unquestionable. Because those elements that we call dragons, phantoms, and different larvae that populate the atmosphere of any house could be clean with the four elements. With this conjuration, you just release them out. But you have to have the energy. We're talking here only about the four, conjuration of the four. It's another thing, but I didn't talk about, because it will be then long lecture. You have to talk about the exorcisms of the four elements to control the elements individually. But this is a simple way in order to conjure them. What is to conjure? To invoke the superior forces in order to reject the negative forces. To make it one with you. When you are conjuring, as you see there, you are invoking the higher forces of Yetzirah in order to reject the negative forces of Klipah. Your lasciviousness, for instance, related to the air. Your desires to your heart. Gluttony, all of that. If you observe any of the defects and vices that we have, relate to the four elements. Laziness, for instance, relates to the earth. You just want to sit down or to lie down and doing nothing. Question?
You said the lion represented the heart and fire, but then you compared it to the tree of life on the right side, where Hokmah, right? But we know that Tiferet represents the heart. So why is it the lion represented by Tiferet?
If you observe here, it says here, per angelum et leonem. And it's because the angelum, which is in Tifereth and in Yesod, goes to the leonim, which is Chesed, the fire. But also that, it depends also, because the four elements enter in each other. in communion. So in your heart, of course, you have your own fire in relation with the world of Yetzirah. But you have, you go above in the world of Bria, and then you find that Chesed is a lion. Did you hear that sentence in the book of Revelation that says, "Behold, a lion of Judah has prevailed"? What is that? That lion is Chesed. Has prevailed means has conquered the seven serpents of light, of fire. That's the lion of Judah, has prevailed. And now he is willing to go and open the seven seals with the help of Chochmah, which is the other lion. But that lion becomes a lamb. Whether a lion of Aram, Aries, or Leo. All of that is alchemy. So learn this, as I said, by memory. It is easy. After repeating it maybe 100 times, you will remember. But Latin is a beautiful language. Caput mortum imperativi dominus per vivum et devotum serpentem. Keruv imperativi dominus per Adam yod Chava. Aquila errans imperativi dominus per Ras Tauri. Serpens imperativi dominus tetragrammaton per angelum et leonem. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Anael, fluat udor per spiritum Elohim. Manet in terra per Adam yod Chava. Fiat firmamentum per yod Chava Sabaoth. Fiat judicium per ignem in virtute Michael. The rest is in English. I don't want to repeat it.
On the website too, right? We
have that. Yeah, it's also in the website. Yeah?
Is there a particular reason why the Latin stops and becomes English or Spanish? Why the language changes?
As I said in the beginning, it is because these four, the previous conjugation, what I said now in Latin, are the mantric force that we need to pronounce, because Latin is related with the forces of nature. It's a mantric language that relates to Spanish, to English, to French, because you find a lot of Latin in different languages, especially in our languages. And of course, the rest, after you pronounce that, then you are commanding the elements. Angel of the eyes, obey me, or pass away with this holy water. All right? Because you already said the mantric words, and you have the forces in you. And then you again said, work, wind, bull, or revert to the earth, and let thy will that I should pierce thee with this sword. Right? But because you already invoked that force. And likewise, the chain eagle, that eagle that is ready with my lasciviousness, obey my sign of chastity, which is the cross. Or fly before this breathing, right? Like that, you go ahead. Thank you very much.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help Gnostic Radio to help others. Make a donation by visiting gnosticradio.org. For questions and deeper understanding of this lecture, we invite you to explore the wide variety of resources available on our websites. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.